Welcome to the Games Gone podcast with me, Tom Ross, and I'm absolutely thrilled. My guest this week is Lukas Jukovic. Now, do I say that right?
Jukovic, yeah, as far as I know, that's correct, yeah. I think that's spot on.
What do you mean, as far as you know? You should know.
Who knows, really, yeah. Who knows? Yours is nice and simple.
Yeah. Just before we start, folks, please leave a review. If you like it, leave a review. If you don't like it, leave a review. As long as it's honest, that's all that matters. And can I just thank everybody for the reviews I've had so far? They've been absolutely amazing. Lukas, let's start about back in Southampton as a boy. You were at Southampton Academy and then left the academy. And so many youngsters, when that happens, turn away from the game. But you came back. What inspired you to stick at it?
Yeah, it was, players develop at different times, and I think I was 14. I got released from Southampton. At the time, I'd gone through massive growing spurt through 13, 14. I think I grew near enough 8 inches in about 18 months, and I had what they call shin splints, and just basically growing pains, that sort of thing. And I was a little bit awkward, sort of Bambi on ice kind of stuff.
No change there then.
Absolutely right. Yeah, exactly. It's a trademark now. I just needed to have a year out. I think that led to me just not enjoying the intensity of academy football, really. I think I just wanted to step back and then just enjoy playing football at 14, 15 with my friends on in a Sunday league team. So I did that for a year and it worked out really well. So, picked up my love of the game again. And then Swindon saw me, and it was an opportunity to start fresh somewhere new. It was at the same time Southampton actually came back and said, "Do I want to come back in and go there?" But I just felt at the time I just wanted something new, something fresh.
Obviously, like most academy kids, I suppose mum and dad were driving you everywhere for the academies. I mean, parents put a lot into youngsters in academies.
Yeah, they do, and it was my mum only as well. My mum's got five kids. I was the youngest of five, and it was just her bringing us up. So for her to hear from her son, rather than just going across the Southampton Common to training at Southampton, if I could have walked there, I want to go 65, 70 miles up the road to train. Do you mind taking me? It's probably not what she wanted to hear, but testament to her and her love for me and. Yeah, she was able to do that and find a way, kind of thing.
The result is 18 years since that day in the game, 13 years as a pro. I mean, and you're still a young man. I mean, that's a long time in the game.
Yeah, long time in the game. I mean, I think your maths might be off there. I might have 32. I'd turn pro at 17. Come on, Tom.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm going on your stats on Soccer Base and Wikipedia and all those sort of things.
Yeah, but needless to say, long time, yeah.
Long time. Who were your inspirations as a young man, personally and football-wise? Did you have heroes in football?
Yeah, I think being from Southampton, you can't really look past Matt Le Tissier growing up. He was the man. He was, a magician. He was someone that people pay to go and watch him play rather than the team. He was that good. And playing up front, so Alan Shearer was the other one, really. Those are the two in that era. They were the top guys. And then sort of later on, to a bit against Southampton, James Beattie was one of those guys as well, and which meant when he came to coach at Birmingham City, I was delighted. And that was a real sort of special moment, spending a couple of seasons with him.
Three very special players there, pal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned they were all pretty much strikers. Well, Lattice wasn't an out-and-out striker, but nevertheless, were you always going to be a striker?
Yeah, I think, apart from 8, 9 years old, where everyone just runs around the pitch, and I guess you'd be a centre midfielder because you just want to go and get the ball and do everything. Apart from that, I always played up front. There was a little spell during my time at Southampton when I was having these growth spurts and I was clearly a little bit gangly, a little bit awkward, that they suggested I play at left back for a little while, and that sort of didn't last too long either, and thought, no, that's not going to work for you. But other than that, it's always been centre forward.
But Swindon it was, and they gave you your pro debut and you were just 17.
Just turned 17. I think I'd been on the bench a couple of weeks before, and I knew sub when at 16, and then just turned 17 a few days before I made my debut away at Swansea. Actually, I think I'm pretty sure Gary Monk was playing in that game, funnily enough, for Swansea.
Yeah, 2-1. I think you got beat, didn't you? 2-1 that day.
That's right. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah. I think maybe did Akinfenwa possibly play for them that night? I don't know. Long time ago.
But didn't you have a start at away at Scunthorpe? Was it?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Towards the end of that season. Yeah.
Yeah, and but just going back to Southampton Academy, who was your academy boss there?
Southampton. Do you know, it was so long ago. It would have been just the academy manager.
Because I know my pal was the academy manager for a while, Steve Wigley.
Yes, he would have been doing the under-18s at that time, I think. Yeah. So they wouldn't have had a huge amount to do with him.
He'd had a great reputation, though, the academy there.
Yes, absolutely. That's particularly around that generation. Countless players, Gareth Bale, Theo Walcott, Adam Lallana, Oxlade-Chamberlain a couple of years younger. Even players have had solid careers, Martin Cranian, Dave McGoldrick, Leon Best, or Dexter Blackstock. There's all around that
good
time.
Good pros, all of them.
Nathan Dyer, can carry on for a while. There's sort of some players that have gone and had really solid careers.
So you've made your debut at Swindon, you've made your name at Swindon, and then Everton come calling. I mean, that must have been, a big deal for you at that time. I mean, Everton, a massive club.
Yeah, it was huge deal. And I had no idea at all. It wasn't a case of, I think kids probably know before anyone, they've had their career mapped out for them by their agent these days. But I didn't have a clue. Paul Sturrock was my manager at Swindon at the time, and he pulled me into the office, and I thought I was in trouble. I thought there was something, because I was, a 17-year-old, you're still very nervous in and around the manager. Pulled me in and said, so we're gonna sell you. he said, where would you like to go? What club do you want to go to? And I had no idea that a club the size of Everton were interested. I just blurted out Southampton because they go home. and he said to Everton, and I was blown away. Completely surprised and excited.
Was that too big at 17 for you, do you think, maybe?
I think so. Yeah, I definitely think so. I think I don't think I was mentally ready for the demands of that. I still felt, still learning my way in the game from a football side of things, but also from a social side of things. I just left school. I was, I think, perhaps not as streetwise as a lot of the kids that come into the game. And I was very nervous around the place. I wasn't confident in myself. And I think that it was perhaps a step too far at that age. Sometimes, you look back, you want to almost shake up that young kid and just say, don't worry about it, just go for it. I probably cared about what people thought too much, I think.
You had a brilliant career, but because you were so young, did it end up being a wasted opportunity? Because if you got that opportunity 5, 6, 7 years later, you'd have probably treated it differently.
Yeah, it probably was. Not in terms of me not wanting it, because I did want it. I did want it perhaps too much. I think, and it wasn't. I took it seriously. I was very professional at a young age, but I think it was just I didn't have that confidence. I didn't demand the ball when I'd be training with the first team. You'd be training with the likes of Mikel Arteta and Tom Robinson and big in names that are quite intimidating because they're aware of how good they are and they demand for, and I was just felt a little bit like I didn't belong, and it was almost, can I get through this training session without anyone having a go at me, rather than demanding, I'll show you how good I am. And I think that affected me quite a bit.
Was Lee Carsley with Robinson then?
Yeah, Cars was there,
I mean, that was a dynamic midfield duo, them two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Cars used to joke that that Real Madrid signed the wrong Baldy, and they were meant to sign him.
By the way, he was a good player, Lee Carsley.
Oh, absolutely.
Plays for the Blues All-Stars, the charity team that we run.
Great guy and great career. I went and played with him again at Coventry when he was coming towards the end. Fantastic player, really good.
Then Everton, obviously, they must have seen the perhaps nervousness. I'll use the word nervousness in you, because you're then out on loan, aren't you, a few times? I suppose to learn the game.
Yeah, to learn the game and learn the game on the pitch, but also the game off the pitch, how to handle being in and around senior pros who are demanding more of you, becoming a man almost. And that those are the experiences that you need. And I certainly feel like I've benefited from them now rather than at the time, perhaps. But having just moved up to Liverpool probably 6 months before I found myself, having finally sort of found my feet, then going back down the country to Plymouth on loan. And it was that was another shake-up, and going down there on your own, being away from a lot of people. And I think my family aren't a football family, so I don't. That can be a help in a lot of the time, because it means you get to switch off. You can go home, and no one's really sort of saying why did you do this, why did you do that. They just want to see how you're doing and hope that you enjoyed yourself. But it could have been a hindrance, not just to have a little bit of someone to lean on to give a little bit of advice when needed, really, at the time.
Did it affect your belief in yourself when Everton put you out on loan at places like Plymouth?
Yeah, it did. It did. I think also then still going, I went to Plymouth as an 18-year-old on loan, but the expectancy was that I was going as an Everton player into the Plymouth squad to be a difference maker for them. And I would only 6 months earlier left Swindon, who were in League One. So I think that was a bit of a pressure on me that I didn't perhaps handle as best as I wanted to. And it affected my confidence. I felt like, just again, not able to demand from some of the senior pros, and almost just sort of trying to not make a mistake.
You probably didn't then, but you probably know now how important the game is between your ears.
Yeah, more and more as you get older. I think it can't really be underestimated how important that is. That's the most, you just look at the best players in the world. You're looking at Ronaldo playing last night. He's obviously got amazing ability and amazing physical traits, but his single-mindedness and his
mental strength,
his mental strength, exactly, it makes him one of the greatest ever.
So Plymouth, then hundreds of miles again to Huddersfield, was there ever a time when you, was there ever a time when you thought, I can't deal with all this? Or was you always focused, I'm going to make this?
No, there were times, if I'm being honest, there were times where, when you're wide awake at night and you think, am I really able to make a career out of this game? Because I was never one of those where I got the move to Everton and think, right, I've made it, I've done it, I've cracked it. I never thought that. It was, like I say, perhaps the opposite. People are going to find me out. And I would go on loan to these places, and the doubts start to creep in, definitely. And you're just thinking, can I forge a career out of this for myself?
Not coming from a football family, who kept you at it? Who got you still believing and got you at it?
I've got friends that I've got a supportive network of friends. Again, they don't play football. They're just my friends from school, and I'm still very close with them now. And that was really, really helpful for me, because it meant that I had a group of friends that weren't interested in me being the footballer. They were just my friend, and that's what I was doing, and they wanted me to do as well as I could because they care about me. So that was a big help for me, really big help. But I think it just there's the sliding doors moments in football.
For sure.
I've talked to this number of my friends in football about moments where it could have gone either way. There's serendipity in there. Like, if it could have been, if this didn't happen at this particular time, you don't get that move. And I've known players with incredible amounts of talent, and it at the wrong time they got an injury, or they fell out of form at the wrong time, and they don't have a career in the game to show for it.
From there, it was to Scotland, and a lot of people might have gone, "Oh, not Scottish football." But in your sense, it looks to me, from looking at the stats alone, that the goals started to come. So it was a massive boost for you in your career to score those goals.
Yeah, and a crucial time, really, because going back to the sliding doors moment, I playing for Huddersfield, I think I probably played one good game for Huddersfield when I was on loan, and that happened to be against Stockport, whose Stockport's manager was Jim Gannon, who then became the Motherwell manager. So I, after having a tough time out on loan at 19 at Huddersfield, I went and didn't have many options to take me on loan. I didn't think I was going to be part of the Everton first team squad. So it was really crucial that I got the next loan move right. Unfortunately, Jim had seen me in the game up against his team. And it meant that he was going to take me up on to Scotland and actually put the faith in me, not just a game here, a sub appearance here, and say, no, I'm going to sign you. You're going to be our main striker. And I needed that at that time. And yeah.
Decisive moment, though, because, you know, you've got left or right. If Motherwell goes wrong, you know, like perhaps you didn't weren't as successful at Motherwell and at Huddersfield and Plymouth. If that had gone, then we may not have seen Lucas in the game for much longer. But that moment, that man's belief in you from seeing you play against, that man's belief turns your career by the look of it.
It really does. Yeah, I think. When I think if I hadn't gone and done well up there, then there's there's a real possibility I wouldn't have had a career in the game. It was so crucial that because if the third loan move that you have doesn't work well in the SPL, and at that point where do you go? There's a big mountain to climb to get yourself back up. So it was just so important that it went well. And initially, actually, didn't the first couple of games? I started a game. It didn't go so well. I came out of the team. I was on the bench. And then I got a run of games and it went well. I scored a few and my confidence grew from there and I started feeling like a footballer.
Before we get on to Coventry, it's for me, and this is not being disrespectful to you, but if you put you and the ball in the box, you're going to get goals. Is that oversimplifying it? If you put you and the ball in the box, you'll get goals.
I think it's a percentage thing. I mean, don't worry about it. You're disrespectful enough to me on any other day of the week, so I don't mind. I'm used to it from you by now. I don't think that's disrespectful. I think that's a tool to use. I think people can get caught up in certain ways to play the game. It's why we love it, because there's so many opinions. There's so many ways in which you can try and win a game of football. That's one of the ways that, and I don't think you should be too proud to use that. And it's something that I pride myself on. I wouldn't take it as disrespectful. And I don't think it's a percentage thing. The more time you make them defend, make the other team answer questions at some point, they're going to not be able to answer them.
Absolutely. Well, then we move on just down the road from St Andrews to Coventry City. Again, successful, you know, nearly 20 goals in 58 games or whatever it was. So your scoring form from Motherwell continued.
Yeah, it was a really good opportunity for me. Really enthusiastic manager, really good people person, and AD Boothroyd. The demand was very high from him, but he also showed that he really cared about his players. That was evident from the minute I came in, and I needed that, I think, at that time, still 21 years old. And I really enjoyed my time there. I was just disappointed at the way that it went for the club, really, because I enjoyed my time there. It was perhaps not managed as best as it should be by the owners, and they're still, fortunately, that they've seemed to have recovered somewhat since then, but it's been a long road back for them, through no fault of the people that work there and the people that care about the club.
To get the best out of Lukas Jukovic, how important is it to have a man like AD Boothroyd? Because my son did his coaching badges with AD, and he says when it comes to being a people person, he is spot on.
Yeah,
is that how you found
it? He really is. Yeah, he really, because I think he tries to deal with the whole package of football player and human being. I think he realises the importance of that, and the fact that different types of people need different types of coaching. And I think that's invaluable, really. That's something you talk about, your son being on the UEFA badges. That's something they don't teach as much as they perhaps should, I think. That it's about dealing with people as well as football players, and he was great at that. Especially as a young player, I think you need that. I think less and less as I've got older, you start to understand the game a little bit more, understand who you are, and are more accepting of who you are as well. and you feel a little bit more comfortable in your own skin. But certainly as a young player, it's incredibly important.
Have those experiences helped you help others, younger players that you play with?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I try to be approachable for young players. I try to make sure that they know that if there's anything that they need, then I'm someone that they can talk to, because I've known how hard it can be in the past when you're a senior player and you feel a little bit intimidated by them. But the game has changed for young players so much in the last few years, even from when it's only been 10, 12 years from when I was at that stage. But the game's changed so much, and the off-field pressures have changed so much for young players as well, that they really kind of, I think they do need looking after a lot. It's so visible, some of the pressures that are put on them from such an early age with social media and things like that. So I think they do certainly need taking care of. And I try to be someone that's if they need someone to talk to, that they know that I'm available.
Are you naturally a confident person, or are you as fragile as the rest of us can be, you know? And you know, if, for example, if the crowd are with you and chanting your name, do they get more out of you?
Yeah, I'm not naturally a confident person, I don't think. I think it's something you have to try. It's a skill in itself to work at it, to have techniques that allow you to be as mentally resilient as you possibly can. And it's so important in this game, because people ask, the noise outside of the game is so fickle that, you know, some weeks that you're God's gift, and some weeks you shouldn't be a professional footballer. So you have to work on that resilience, and that's something I've tried to work on. That's something I've tried to instill in myself, but it's always a work in progress. It's never the finished article.
A manager, a friend of mine who played in the Premier League, said exactly that. He said, one week you're the rooster, the next week you're a feather duster. That's exactly the way it is, you know. And mentally you have to deal with that. But what your next manager, of course, was Tony Mowbray, who I know well, Tony, because he was at West Brom and Coventry. You were at Middlesbrough with him. And he said something, and I wondered what your reaction was to it. He said that perhaps you tried too hard to be successful. Could that be fair? If you can try too hard, but I think I know what he means. You try too hard sometimes.
I think that's fair. Yeah. First of all, Tony Mowbray, another great bloke. I was lucky enough for him to be my manager.
He was God at Middlesbrough, by the way.
Of course he is. Yeah, and deservedly so. But no, I think it's probably fair, because like I touched on when we were going to through the Everton years, it's something that I struggled with. Because I wanted to please people. I wanted to really was desperate to do the right thing for everyone. I cared a lot about what people think of me. And yeah, that can come through as almost a desperation to do well for yourself, and also the responsibility of not letting others down. That sort of transpired that I ended up just being so desperate to do well that you end up snatching at things. You work hard in the wrong places. And it's purely because you're desperate to do well.
I think, you know, you did well there. They paid a good fee for you. You scored 11 goals, one in four man, and then out on loan again at Bolton. You know, you are the loan man, aren't you, when it comes to loans? And as a footballer, is that something you relish, or can it be soul-destroying?
I think at the time I needed to go. I needed to go out on loan. I think I needed to leave perhaps Middlesbrough just because the way that they wanted to play, I started to realise that for all the will in the world, I wasn't going to be that type of player. Tony Mowbray signed me, said that he liked my attributes, but then I think he wanted to add to that, as you rightly should with young players. I almost got caught in between doing the things I was used to being good at and trying to be a player that I perhaps am not. And I think then going to Bolton was an important stage for me to go to a manager and said, this is what you are. Don't try and be anything else. Go and enjoy being that. Our team is going to be set up to get the best out of you from that situation. So I didn't mind, because I knew it was important for my career. And I think because I was single, I was on my own. I wasn't carrying a family around with me. So it really didn't matter to me. I could go to a new city and try and do well there. Whereas It's timed perfectly, really, with me and my young family and my wife that ended up sort of settling down here when we had a family and stayed in one place for a long period of time. It was perfect timing, really.
I always find it strange with managers that they like you. It's like being married. You know, the girl likes you as you are, then marries you and tries to change you. And football can be a bit like that, that, you know, they see what they like. And then, like, for example, you wouldn't buy Messi and play him as a target man up front and send big crosses. You never see where I'm coming from. We're going back to almost where we started.
Yeah, I love the wife analogy. Yeah, I'll let mine know later on if that's what you make of it.
I don't care. Don't give him the address. but
I take your point. Yeah, exactly. You know what you signed.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about this many times after games, haven't we, where you've got strengths. And if I want to do well, to get the best out of your strengths, play to those strengths. And you must feel that as a player. Play to my strengths and I won't let you down.
Yeah, I certainly do. And especially as I get older as a player, I understand what my strengths are and I'm not ashamed of that. So it's a case of, well, if you want to play a certain way, like we've touched on before, there's many, many ways in which you can win a football match, many ways in which your team can be successful. So if you want to play a certain way that doesn't fit the way that my style of play, then that's absolutely fine. That's your prerogative as a manager. But then use someone that is going to play well in that style of play.
Don't put players in a situation where they're criticised for trying to do what they can't do.
That's it. Put round pegs in round holes.
In one. How was Burnley for you? Because that was Premier League as well. I mean, you're playing the Premier League. It seems to me, looking at it, that was a great club, but perhaps the wrong time for you to be there, if there is a wrong time, because I think they got relegated. But they were in that sort of situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I had a great time at Bolton, scored a fair amount of goals and had a really good end to the season with them. And then that led to the chance to go to the Premier League with Burnley. I was thrilled at another opportunity to try and get into the Premier League, to try and get a run of games. I was so excited for it. And started fantastically well. Did pre-season, scored a lot of goals and started the season in the Premier League for them as a striker alongside Danny Ings, and it seemed to go well. And I think when you're in a team at the bottom of the league or round about the bottom of the league, chances, especially at that level, are few and far between. And it got to 5-6 games and I hadn't scored a goal and probably hadn't had a chance to score a goal. We were under the cosh for most games, as you can imagine. And then the manager made a change, wanted to freshen things up. We played, I think, one of the other relegation sort of candidates, beat them 1-0, and the striker that came in for me scored the goal and rightfully so got his run in the team. And I didn't begrudge that, of course. That's what you do. You come in, you take your chance, and that's the way it happened. And found myself, I don't think I started another game for the rest of the season. So that was frustrating, because the team was ended up getting relegated. So, of course, you'd like to think you would have got another opportunity. But I think I must have made another 20 appearances, but about 2-minute appearances each. I think I had about double figures sub appearances went after this sort of injury time board had gone up. So it was difficult to get
you had any 20 sub appearances. The 20 sub appearances.
I think about 10 of them were after the injury time board had gone up. So it wasn't really a case of getting a chance on the pitch so much. And like I said, that's the manager's prerogative, that the front two were doing well. They were working really hard for each other. And that's the way it goes sometimes. So, but it was a frustrating year and you learn. And I came back for pre-season really hungry to do well and establish myself and get promoted at the first attempt with Burnley. And of course, I started the season again with Burnley, and I had a good pre-season and I felt ready to go. And I tore my ACL, I think third game of the season, and that's the season done.
I was going to ask you about that. Was it true, the story I heard, that you did damage your cruciate ligament, but you stayed on because they'd used their subs? Was that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So
wow.
Yeah, so I think it was away at Bristol City, and we were 2-1 up under the cosh quite a bit, and I came on actually, I think, that game, I just lost my place to Sam Vokes, so I came on for him. I think I did my ACL with about 15 minutes to go. And I knew something had happened. You just feel a crack, and I just knew something had happened. And in my head, it was almost like, well, I guess I've done it now. So how bad can it get? I just needed to be a body, because we were just to stay on and be in the way. And I found that I was if I'm running in straight line, it was no problem. It was almost like, oh, have I actually done something? And then I remember one throwing up the line, and I tried to move laterally to get my body in, and it just was floppy as anything. I went over, and then the physios and the Bristol City players thought that I was at it to waste time, and their manager was Steve Cotchell at the time, and he was ranting and raving, and he actually apologised to me when he saw me months later, because he then found out what happened, but at the time thought I was just rolling around, and little did he know that I had no cruciate ligament at that time. Mm. That was a tough one.
And from there, you won the lottery.
I go back to that season was a massive learning curve, though, because it made me realise how fragile the career is.
Yeah.
I then went again, it's another crossroads, really, because you go from not really playing in the Premier League season and then fully not playing for a whole season with an ACL. All of a sudden, I've not played for nearly 2.5 years. So if I don't go and do well, at the next move, then that could be me again.
Could be all over.
So there's a real chance of that, and it really made me appreciate how fortunate. And it's something that I keep reminding myself, and it's a lesson I've learned through that injury. How lucky we are to be in this game, and how lucky I am to have a career. And I try not to take that for granted every day. There's of course some days that you forget that, but I try to keep reminding myself every day. It was an amazing learning curve that year for me. We ended up getting promoted, and it was sort of bittersweet, really. I was so happy for everyone, but ultimately I was just so disappointed not to be involved so much.
Birmingham's your next port of call, and I mean, people will say you're biased, I suppose, but it seems to me that you enjoy Birmingham City. It seemed like a fit. Is that? Does that happens in football, doesn't it? Some clubs are just fits for you.
It feels like it. I've some coaches that I've had before, they'll say you'll find your home, you'll know, and you'll find your home, and it does feel like that. I have just feel like it's the right club at the right time for me. Mm-hmm. It was, and the values that supporters hold dear are things that are important to me as well. It's become my club. I'll be a Birmingham supporter for the rest of my life now, and it's something that I'm incredibly proud to be to play for this club.
It we're talking there. I mean, it was interesting. I mean, you've scored great goals for Birmingham as well, but even Birmingham was in a tough time, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in a situation again where perhaps the way the club played didn't suit you. And there was a lot of talk at the time, will he be here next season? Won't he be here? Then all of a sudden the manager changes. That's football, isn't it? The manager changes, bang, Lucas is back in, scoring goals, everybody's happy.
Well, which time are you talking about? It's happened a couple of times when Steve Cotchell came in, that was the case. It seemed like we were on our way out. And Gary Monk came in, changed it around, and it worked out really well for myself and for the team. And this is a very similar scenario. There's quite a lot of symmetries between the two seasons, really.
When you play, I mean, you're 6 foot, which I suppose in many ways is not, for the amount of goals you get with your head, it isn't really tall. But you've got this ability to climb.
Why are you taking that? One and a half is important, you know that.
You're 6 foot one and a half.
I think I am anyway.
You've added on the half. I love that. I love adding and a half. Don't forget the half. It's vital. You've got a good leap, haven't you? Which is important.
I think with it, it's almost, I think the desire to want to go and head the ball is important. I felt, particularly since my ACL, believe it or not, I used to be quite dynamic. I don't know if you'll buy that or not. I'm not sure. But since the ACL, that, you have to adapt, you have to change the way that you play, and very quickly realise that I'm not going to be scoring a host of goals running away from centre halves having been played through, so I needed to be able to offer something to the manager and say, look, I can be a threat from this part, you know, part of the pitch. So it's something that, yeah, like I said before, I pride myself on it. And you have to have the desire to want to go and head it and want to go and compete.
When I spoke to Lee Bowyer first, having known Lee from his playing days, of course, at Blues, and he said, if I've got Lukas Jukovic in the team, I'm putting the ball in there. I mean, it ain't rocket science, and he spotted it straight away. That must have... Was that like a massive weight off your shoulders to have a manager that wants to play to you?
Yeah, it was incredibly, a good feeling for me. First day in, really, when we were doing the shape for the Reading game, because you can say it yourself as much as you want on a pitch. You can say, why are we not crossing? Why? But for it to come from the top, it means that everyone's, you know, going to stand up and listen, really. And I was just, yeah, so grateful that he came in and made that a focal point. And his message to the wingers was, as soon as you get half the yard, put it in their box, make them defend, we'll score goals from it. And he was so adamant that we would score goals from it. And it was then I joked with my wife afterwards. I said, right, well, the pressure's on now. Before the game, I was probably as nervous as I've been in a game of football before the Reading game, because I thought, well, it's that he said it now. You've got this is what I've been moaning at her every evening. What, we've got to cross the ball? We've got to cross the ball. He said it and they're going to do it. So I better deliver now. So yeah, that was a big relief a couple of minutes in.
Internationally, I mean... There was talk about you qualifying for the Republic of Ireland, that Martin O'Neill wanted you, qualifying for Poland as well. Never really happened. What went on there?
Yeah, so the Ireland thing was something that came up a few years ago, and again about 18 months ago. And it was, my grandma was Irish, but her parents moved over to Britain, to England at one point. And she was actually born in England and then they moved back to Ireland. So she would have considered herself Irish, but I don't think that qualifies for me because she was actually born in England. So that was, yeah, that was a bit disappointing because it would have been a huge honour to play international football, but one of those things. And with the Poland situation, that was, again, a bit complex because my granddad was born in Vilnius, which is now, of course, Lithuania, but at the time that he was born, it was Poland, so he would have considered himself Polish, but the borders change, as they do in Europe a lot, and he came over after the war, and the paperwork and things like that were very, very complex, and he's passed now, so very complex to sort out. They did come to me and ask if I was interested, and I don't know, it would have been a very difficult one, not speaking the language, not being familiar with that side of the family. I would have felt perhaps even more fraudulent than I do anyway.
Now, just away from the pitch, if you like, you play the guitar. How long have you been playing? And I heard a whisper, just a whisper, that you might be jamming with Robbie Williams' drummer.
He's obviously a big blues fan, and that's
Carl Brazil. Yeah, he invited. He said, "Come along." He said, "Bring your guitar and come along." See,
great guy, Carl. And I think I'd be a little bit too nervous in front of professional musicians. But he keeps trying to get me down the studio, whether he's with Robbie or with Leader or anything like that. But yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's something I really enjoy doing. It's something that relaxes me.
How good are you? Come on, be honest. How good are you?
It's never for me to say. I mean, how good is good? It's all relative. I mean, I'm okay.
Would you be lead or rhythm?
To get by, a little bit of both, yeah. Little bit of both. George Friend also plays the drums as well. And when we were at Middlesbrough together, we had a little garage band sort of situation going on. His wife probably hated it, but I'd go over to his with my guitar and he would get on the drum set. It's good fun. We're still yet to play in his new house down here.
The second drummer at the club, because Frank Worthington played the drums as well. Rest his soul. Frank Worthington, loved the drums. Interesting though, when you joined Blues, what was your initiation song?
It was The Doors, Light My Fire.
Nice one. Morrison, yeah.
That was it, yeah. I love The Doors, yeah.
You've got a good taste then. You've got a good taste, yeah. I'll give you that. Who's the funniest player you've played with?
Do you know, I mean, so random ones, like I said, talking about Tommy Grabison earlier. I mean, I was only ever on a training pitch with him, but the guy was nuts, hilarious. But you just never knew what was coming at any time. Like, you could be walking down the corridor and you'd be sort of bracing yourself for something. And once one day you might say, hi, Tommy, give you the nod, hi mate, and that's it. And then one day you walk and he would just rugby tackle you or something, and just pin you to the ground and get you to submit. Real character. And in fact, like, his midfield partner, Kaz is probably one of the funniest guys, the driest man I've
ever met. He's the driest man.
Yes, exactly. I leave a conversation with him and about 3 hours later, I'm thinking, was he joking?
Exactly.
What did he mean there? And he's a hilarious guy. But yeah.
Interestingly, because Robbie Savage was saying, like, he used to room with Nicky Eaton. Chunky was at Blues from Barnsley, and he used to wrestle him naked in his room. Because, man, just footballers are balmy. I think it's that releasing of the tension.
I'm rooming with Max Collins, so I'll see if he fancies it later.
All the best. How long will you play? How long are you going to play on?
As long as I can, really.
You feel good, though, don't you?
Yeah, I feel really good. I feel as good as I ever have. Not 32 now, and yeah, I feel as fit as I ever have. I feel good. I feel as hungry as I ever have.
Eddie Sheringham was playing at 40.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I enjoy the game as much as I ever have. So I think as long as that remains the same, there's no reason to think about quitting. I think my body will probably tell me. The body will tell me or the club will tell me. It's time to stop.
Sometimes, Lucas, brain writes checks your body can't cash. Exactly. So sometimes it has to be somebody telling you.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll try and listen to my body and see how I'm doing. But the hunger's still there. I want to play as long as that stays.
Don't forget the input from the missus. She'll have something to say.
Yeah. She probably might want her weekends back.
You are a family man, aren't you? That's something that comes across from you. You're a family man.
No, I'm incredibly blessed to have a family that I do, and it's just incredibly supportive. And like I said before, the timing for us to start a family really couldn't have worked out any better. It was when I think Sophie fell pregnant with Jacob just as I signed for Birmingham. And then... we've gone on to have Jacob and most recently Emily. So, we're settled here. He starts school in the area in September as well. Wow. So it's perfect, really. So we love the area. That's why it's an even more kind of special area for us now. My boy's got the Brummie accent. So, yeah, we're certainly Brummies ourselves.
Well, as we come towards the end of it, how did you deal and cope with COVID?
Yeah, it was tough from... At the start, I think just switching off from when we went, I think we were due to play West Brom and then it got cancelled. And at that point, I'm still in season mode. So I'm still thinking about games and it was difficult to switch that off. And then when it looked like we wouldn't be back for a good few months, that first lockdown, I hate to say it because I know a lot of people went through a lot of difficult times and it was very hard for a lot of people. But I really enjoy spending time with my family and not having the pressure of a result at the weekend. And it obviously the weather helped with that first one. We spent the whole time in the garden just getting to know my son even more. Being able to spend day after day playing in the garden with him was great. But of course your competitive juices start flowing again eventually and you can't help that and you want to get back into it.
You did suffer with it though, didn't you? You had to isolate.
Yes. I thought you meant in general in terms of...
No. Well, general, yes, because being a footballer and then that cooped up and not playing and all that, that was a real shock to the system. But you had it personally.
Yes, have it. Yeah, personally, we had it as a family actually, which in one way, it was good because we were able to we were all in the same situation, so it wasn't a case of one person having to be locked away in the bedroom for 10 days. But of course, my wife was pregnant at the time, so there was always a worry that we didn't know a huge amount about it at the time, so there was a worry of that. But we all felt pretty good. I had a bit of a head cold at the start, and other than that, it was okay. But of course, you know, we're incredibly fortunate that we're at that sort of end of the spectrum where that it wouldn't necessarily. I don't want to tempt fate, but affect us too much. Obviously, well aware that that's not the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. And just, I suppose, finally, you know, when whoever it is and responsible for blowing the final whistle for you, do you plan to manage or coach?
It feels like you're trying to retire me, Tom. It really does. Yeah.
Hang on, I'll just put the fan. Lee is bit. He's bit Lee.
So no, I'm doing various things to sort of help make the transition. I don't want to fall off the cliff as soon as you finish playing. I want it to be as seamless as possible going into another job. I think I'm doing my badges and doing a directorship, a sports directorship course as well.
Wow.
So, that sort of thing does interest me. I think having been in the game for so long, so fortunate to be behind the curtain and being involved. I'm sure you agree with that as well. Mm-hmm. It's a great sport to be involved in, and I wouldn't want to walk away from it. But again, talking about family, you have to take that into account, that they give up a lot to enable me to do what I do. And it's whether you want to sort of let the game take over your life for another few years or spend some time with them. So I want to put things in place so that's a possibility. But I'm kind of open about it at the moment.
Talking to people from two of the previous clubs, and I know at Birmingham, are you aware of how much you're loved by the fans? Are you aware of that? Because I spoke to two other clubs that you'd played for, and it was exactly the same. Are you aware of the fans' feelings for you?
Yeah, certainly at Birmingham, it's like they're very vocal and they let you know. And I think... and it's mutual, of course. Like we've missed them hugely this year. It's been so difficult trying to navigate your way through a season without that support. But I hope that it's because I work hard, and I hope that it's because they can see that I care about the club, and I'm not just here to as a mercenary. I want the club to do well. I want them to improve, and I want to be a part of that. So I hope that comes through, and it obviously feels good. It certainly feels better to be enjoyed than to sort of out on the pitch. I prefer to be loved than hated, that's for sure.
Lucas, I mean, absolutely, it's flown by, and it's been enthralling. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. It's been brilliant. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah, it's good to speak to you, mate.